Good evening, everybody. I'm Tracy Ray with Pink Pigeon Media, and I manage social media pages for people such as yourselves, with managing Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Google Plus pages and other social pages, in an effort to free up people to do what they do best, which is coaching. While I take care of the social media side, coaches can go and do their coaching side, and it's a match made in heaven. So that's me, Tracy, at pinkpigeonmedia.com. And tonight's call, we're talking about the importance of using images, and this is in particular about using images in blog posts and on your website. And so there's quite a few things to know about using images, and we're going to start off with the most important aspect of it. And before I say that, I'll say this. There will be a time for questions and answers at the end, or if something pops in your head that fits in right at that moment, feel free to unmute yourself and interject that question. But we'll have time at the end, too, so jot them down if you want to wait till then. The first and most important thing about using images on your blog post or on your website is that they need to be legal images. And it might seem kind of silly to have to point that out because it seems pretty obvious, and maybe it is, but there's an awful lot of people who like to go to the internet, and if they see an image that they like, simply download it and use it. And it's tempting to do that, but many of the images that you find online are actually stock images that someone paid to use and perhaps didn't set it up on their website in such a way that it couldn't be then downloaded. And, you know, you don't want to do that. That's somebody's legal image and somebody's property. So the very first thing you have to do is find out whether or not the image that you like is something that you can use. When I start out to come up with images in the first place for a blog or for a website, I typically visit one of two free sites first. Now, there are lots of free photography sites. I don't want to lead you to think there's only two. But there's two that I go to because I have great success with those two. And, you know, we're all watching the time. And nobody wants to spend an hour or 2 hours writing a blog and then another hour or 2 hours trying to find an image for it. And I don't know about you, but when I blog, it actually can take me that long depending on what it is I'm doing. First of all, writing it, you want it to be right, you want your research right, and so it takes time to do that. To find an image quickly, I visit, first of all, morgfile.com. That's morg like it sounds, like a morgue, M-O-R-G-U-E, file, F-I-L-E.com. And I tell you about Morgfile first because it is one of the big photo repositories that you can use anything you find on Morgfile without attribution. You don't even have to cite the photographer anywhere. You don't have to say, thanks, Morgfile, or Fred's from Morgfile, or anything. You don't have to give attribution at all. And I like that. That's just one less step for me to do when I'm blogging or creating something on a website with a free image that needs attribution. I can forget about that with Morgfile. Now, the difficulty I found with Morgfile is that you can only do a search for an image using one word at a time, as opposed to if you've ever used a stock photography, you can use commas in between several words in order to find the right picture. Like you might want apples or a bucket of apples or a barrel of apples. With Morgfile, you can't do all that. You have to just put apples and or bucket or fruit. You can't do the comma and have several of them and have it search several different places. And I find that to be a little bit frustrating just because it takes a little longer to find what you want. But there's quite a few really excellent photographers that freely share their photos on Morgfile. Some of them are not that great quality, but it depends on what you're doing, if you'll find what you want there, but some are just as good as any professional photographer would give you. So I highly recommend starting with Morgfile. Those are all free images, all legal images for you to use any way that you want. You can read through their legalities at the front of the website, and I would encourage you always to do that, obviously. But they're absolutely free to use without any hitches or strings. You don't even pay a monthly fee, which is wonderful. So I would always start with Morgfile to see what I can find there, and then I move on to my second choice if I don't find something there, which is freedigitalphotos.com. Freedigitalphotos.com is it's actually easier to find things there, I think, than on Morgfile. But with freedigitalphotos.com, there is attribution expected, and it's not complicated at all. You just walk through the steps, two or three steps, to download your photo, and it tells you how to attribute a photo back to the photographer on there. And like I said, it's just one more step to do, which is why I like to not have to do it. But if I find a photo I really love from them, it's worth it to me to take the extra step and give the attribution to the photographer. And an attribution to the photographer can usually, on sites like this that require it, they will tell you the parameters of kind of where they want it and how they want it. They're not super, super specific, though. With this particular one that I told you with Free Digital Photos. It's actually freedigitalphotos.net. I may have said .com, and I apologize. freedigitalphotos.net is what it's called. With them, when I use photos from them in a blog post, for instance, I simply write at the very, very bottom of the article my attribution to whoever the name of the photographer is, and I click on that line, and I scale it back a little bit so that it's not bold black letters, but it's more like gray, so that while I'm giving attribution, it's not jumping out off the page at somebody that this is where the photo came from. That's just my personal preference. That is not a right thing to do or a wrong thing to do. It's just my preference for how to do it. At the very bottom in smaller type, if I can do it, and I grayscale it back just a little bit so it's not a real eye catcher on my blog article, because obviously what I want people to see is the blog article itself and any images that are eye catching. And it's important, of course, to use images in blog posts or on your website for obvious reasons. I don't have to tell you. We're all drawn to the same thing in that regard. When you see an article that has no pictures or anything at all to draw the eye, I think most of us have to use a tiny bit more discipline to buckle down and read it, whereas something that has an eye-catching photo, even just one, can be alluring enough to get people like me to sit down and concentrate and read this article. So anytime you can add images, it's really to your benefit, because any blog post that has images in it are about double as likely to get read as those that don't. And, of course, you got to tack on a little bit of a disclaimer there. When people are doing research and they find a title that meets their needs, they're going to read it with or without. But on blog posts that are a little more enjoyable reading, images are critically important. People love videos, too, and this particular session is not about videos, but I have to say that videos are really gaining speed more and more, and because it's so easy to do now and anyone can do a good video and put it on YouTube or on Vimeo or any of these other sites that house big files like that, they're giving images a run for their money, and so I would encourage you to investigate that if you're a blogger or if you have a website that you'd like to keep things fresh and new, to consider uploading videos from time to time there. For tonight, like I said, we're talking about images. And on the topic of legal images and those two places that I told you to go and fetch them for free and they're legal, morgfile.com and freedigitalphotos.net, there's another way, too, to search. If you find an image, for instance, on a website or on a blog page, that someone else has used that you really, really like and you're wondering where it came from, there is an online tool that can help you scout out the source of photos. Now, this is super helpful because if you find a photo that you just love, love, love and wish you could download and use it on yours, you may not be able to get a hold of the author of the blog that you found it on, or it might be something as huge as on you know, big time website like ABC News or something where you'll never find out unless they give attribution, or some obscure little older blog or something. It may be hard to find, but there is a way to do that. And if you will visit, jot this down or visit it on your computer, it's called tinye.com. That's tinye.com. On TinEye, it's really cool because you can simply put the photo in TinEye and it'll do a search for you and come up with a big long list of all the many places that that photograph has been used. Most of the time, it includes the origin of the photo, and this is a really quick way to find out if it's a stock photo. It'll show you the stock photo company. This is cool because then if it's worth it to you, you can click on that and go buy it and use it legally that way. But this also gives you a heads up that this photo belongs to someone and you can't just download it and use it from wherever you found it. It has an origin, and the person who used it where you found it bought it, at least hopefully. And that's exactly what you should do. I use TinEye absolutely all the time when I find images that I love. And it's super easy to use. You can either paste the URL right there on the TinEye's homepage, or you can upload the photo that you found. If you downloaded it from the internet and you're not sure, just upload it to TinEye and it will go right on through there and give you this big long list of every place that it can find where the photo has been used. Excellent information to have, and it can help you figure out if an image is legal to go ahead and use or not. A thing with TinEye that's really cool is that if you come up with a photo that you love and you search it on TinEye, and it comes up with 1,000 different places that it's been used, and out of the first 60 or 70, none of those are a stock photography place that's selling this photo, chances are it's just common property and everybody's using it. And this will help you figure that out by clicking on a few of those places to see where that photo has been used in other places. It's just one more safeguard to be sure that you're not swiping somebody's image that you should have paid for. And on that topic, you know, some people get really scared about that. What if I accidentally use an image that I should have purchased and didn't know better? And, you know, that does happen all the time. I've made that mistake myself only to find out later that it was something I should have purchased or wasn't free to use. A couple of things will happen, could happen. In all likelihood, it won't get noticed, especially if you're just got a really tiny blog going or your website's fairly new. It probably won't even get noticed, which is, you know, of course, that's beside the point because we want to do things legally and properly and pay people for things that they own. But I'm just trying to take the fear out of it. In all likelihood, no one will notice, but if they do, if the owner of their image did notice, the likelihood is all they do is contact you and tell you to take it down. It would be highly unlikely that somebody who has a small website, a new website, or a tiny little blog would get picked on by a big bully and sued. That's usually something that happens between the big dog. You know, if Coca-Cola used something that wasn't legal and they didn't buy it, then there's big trouble kind of thing. Typically, you would just be contacted and kindly asked to remove their photo, or not so kindly, depending on who it is, but then you just remove the photo and you find something else and you move on. It doesn't mean that it can't happen that somebody would get nasty and attempt to sue somebody like me. It can happen. It's just not a likelihood, but it's just, of course, we're good people. We all want to do the right thing. We all want to make sure things are legal, and we want to sleep at night not worrying about that sort of stuff. So if we do it right from the start, then we save ourselves any kind of worry or headache or trip-ups. If mistakes happen and you put something up there that you realize later is wrong, just take it down and replace it. No harm, no foul. It's just good to check and be sure. So those are three different things to help you do that. Morgfile.com, freedigitalphotos.net, and using TinEye.com. For saving images, this is one of the SEO tricks that a lot of folks like to use. Is you want as much search engine optimization as you can possibly get, which is what SEO means. And search engine optimization is that you want search engines to find you. So you want to optimize your site as much as possible in order for search engines to be able to index your site and searchers can find you. So SEO is, of course, very important. And if you've been in any of my other classes, any of them at all, I always mention the importance of keywords. And this is, again, where keywords come into play. It's important to have defined your website or your blog, even your blog articles, that you can properly use keywords so that you can be found online. And images is one really cool way to do that. And I'll just reiterate things I've said in other classes. When it comes to search engine spiders indexing your site, they start at the upper left corner and read left to right from top upper left all the way down to lower right, just like you and I do. And during the course of their scanning these words, they are indexing those words to figure out what you're all about. This is why keywords are so important. They also do this with pictures, but obviously this machine doesn't read a picture. It reads the way you named the picture, because all it can do is read words. It can only read letters and words. It's not going to read the image itself. Means nothing to the search engine spider. So your best bet to get a little more SEO juice out of any image that you choose and download, whether it's from these two sites that I told you about or from some other source, even if it's your own photo of your own iPhoto library, something you've taken yourself, you still want to save those images using keywords. And there's a couple things to keep in mind here. One thing when you do a save as and rename a photo is that it's important to do a decent, very short, very brief, decent description of what it is that's in the photo. I've heard numerous gurus say that they, whoever the big they is behind Google and other search engines, are getting more and more stringent about naming or describing your pictures so that those who are visually impaired know what it is that's on their screen. And that's becoming more and more important, and that's to your advantage because it gives you plenty of room to use keywords. In most cases, the visual that you pick has something to do with the page that you're working on, so there should be a way to use keywords within those descriptions as well. So you first start out with the description that is the picture itself. If it's a bowl of apples, then you would say bowl of apples, and then you can put a comma, and you can put your name or the name of your blog, like your URL. You can put that in there, or you can put the title of the blog article that you just wrote, or another keyword or two that describes your blog article. This is all good real estate to use in order to label that picture. It's just important to remember that at the very beginning of this picture is your description for the visually impaired, and that's important to do, and it's important to do a good job with that. It needs to be brief, obviously. You know, you cut to the chase and just put exactly the words that you need, but make sure that's at the front, and then follow that up with other SEO keyword-rich phrase or description or the URL that you're working with inside that image as well, because the search engine spiders are reading all of that, and it's going to give you a little extra SEO juice if you save your images using those keywords. So I would say that anytime you download an image from the internet, or even if you pull it off your own photo library, you'll notice that most of the time there's a big long number attached to it or something. Get rid of that. You want to start over and do a save as and start fresh and clean and do your own description. You don't need that number. It doesn't mean anything. Even if you take it from one of these free digital photo sites, that number doesn't mean anything anymore. You can get rid of it. There's no legality attached to it or anything that you've got to preserve it. It goes away, and you save it as your way. Do it whatever you want. Just click Save As and re-describe it and insert your keywords for SEO juice. The trick for this is a really important part when you're creating. Sometimes we create our own visuals for blog articles or for websites. And by creating your own visual, I'm thinking mostly things like memes. You've seen these on Facebook. It's a cute little picture that has a quote or a saying. Maybe it has a flower in the background, and then you'll see a quote from Martin Luther King Jr., or you'll see a quote from, I don't know, your favorite actor or somebody or a president or something. Those cute little pictures that you see all the time are called memes. Well, the neat thing here is that if you see a meme that you like, it doesn't take a whole lot of talent or time. It takes zero money to recreate it to be a little mini advertisement for yourself. And this is how you do that. If you find a meme that you like, let's just say it's a wonderful quote from Dr. Seuss or something, and you think it's terrific, you can take that quote, you can even take that meme if you want, because memes are fair game. If you find it on Facebook or whatever and it's getting passed around by everybody, it's fair game. But you can take it and recreate it and make it your own at a website called Canva, canva.com. I've mentioned Canva before, too. This is a tool that I use online almost every day. And I use it to create memes so that I can make a meme work for me. And I do it this way. If I go to Canva and I click on their social media button, it has all the measurements already set up, so I don't have to worry about the sizing of it. It already does the sizes for me. It knows the size Facebook needs. It knows the size Twitter needs. So you can create right in there and have it fit in well with any social media page that you're doing. And the thing is, you don't have to use it on your Facebook page just because you create it in Canva. You're just creating a piece of work that is the right size, generally speaking, that you could use in your blog page or on your website. So what you can do is you create your own meme and you take your cute little Dr. Seuss quote or whatever it is, and you create it in Canva on this little square, and then you put your URL at the very bottom or your name at the very bottom. Like if you're a financial coach, you might want to say Finance Coach Tracy Ray, which is my name, or whatever kind of family coach, and then your name. Or if you're a Twitter user, you can use your Twitter handle at the bottom of that. And this way, when you've created a meme that you're going to show out there to the world on your blog page or on your Facebook page, it's also a mini ad. So you've done a meme like everyone else out there is doing by the thousands every day, but yours is different and it's working for you because you've put your name on it. Now, Canva, canva.com, is good for all kinds of social media creations, and it's very much point and click. Within 5 or 10 minutes of playing around on Canva with no help at all, you can create a terrific little meme that you can then download and use anywhere you want, as much as you want, because it's your creation. And I would also say this, if you're a Facebook user and you use it for business and you see memes like that where you go and you like them or you share them, my thing is always this, make those memes work for you. It's worth your time to take 5 minutes to recreate it to be able to put your name on it. So just pick a different background and slap on that same saying that you like, that same quote that you like, and make it your own so that you're not paying for any advertising at all, but you are doing advertising when you do that. And then every time somebody shares that meme that you created, they're sharing for you and advertising for you as well. So that's canva.com. I would encourage you to explore in there because you can create Facebook covers in there, save yourself a lot of headache because they've done all the measurements for you. So when you're done creating it and you hit download, it will fit your Facebook banner. And it's the same thing for Twitter images or little Facebook ads. It's done all the measuring for you. It's a real time saver and life saver when it comes to creating memes that work for you. Now, memes can also substitute as your visual image inside your blog page. And you can save a meme doing the same trick I just told you to SEO juice up your regular images. You can do the same thing on a meme, just save as and include whatever keywords you want in there. You just simply have to describe the meme for the visually impaired in the exact same way. You just treat it as an image. It actually becomes your image. And you can use that anywhere that you want to because it's your creation. Another really cool tool, there's actually two really cool tools online for editing photos. And this is especially handy if you choose to use something that is your own photo. Because when you take pictures with your camera and then you download it onto your computer, we all know the size of those images, depending on the quality of your camera, can be really huge. And then when you go to try to translate it to a blog post or to your website, it's so big, it not only takes up a ton of file space, but you've got to go back and try to make it fit somehow. It can become a 2 or 3 hour ordeal just because the sizing's all messed up and makes things difficult. There also may be things that you want to do to that photo, like add a quotation to the photo or add your name to the photo to serve as a banner on your website or something like that. Or maybe you just downloaded one of these free photos and you want to do some changes to it in one way or another. A couple of different easy photo editing, point and click. If I can do it, anybody can do it. My favorite one is picmonkey.com. You may have heard of it. It's PICMONKEY.com. Picmonkey.com is about as easy as it gets. You can upload your image and totally add anything that you want, from words to a quotation to another overlay of another image that you have. You can add color. You can take away color. You can frame it, just about anything you want to do. In fact, it's so fun to do, and it's worth it. It really is a great tool, so it's worth your time to do it when you're sitting around watching TV or something and you want to play around and learn something new. Try PicMonkey, where you can upload any one of the photos that you have in your iPhoto library or whatever kind of library that you keep your photos in, and just try it. Upload it and play with all the different things that it can do, from resizing a photo to changing it to black and white, all kinds of options that you can do. And another that's very similar to PicMonkey is called Ribbit, like a frog says Ribbit, RIBBET.com, or RIBBIT, I'm sorry, RIBBIT.com. It's ever so slightly different from PicMonkey, and it depends on what I want to do, which one I pick. Here's the best thing about it is that both of them are free. There is a paid version of PicMonkey, but you don't have to do that to get what you need out of it. But with Ribbit, it's all free all the way. No matter, I don't think there's any way, as far as I know, to join it or pay for it. I've never seen a way to do that. I think it's just completely free. You can edit photos in much the same way. Between the two of them, you might toggle between the two of them and see what the differences are and pick the one that you like the best and is the most fun for you to use in order to make your images stand out the way that you want them to make them personal and to make them your own. And again, when you do that, be sure you save it to SEO juice it up really good. You want to make sure you get everybody used out of those images that you possibly can. Before this class, there was a question sent in ahead of time about what do you do with all the images, how do you store them on your computer so things don't get lost or misplaced. And I'll say a couple of things about images in the first place when it comes to keeping images on your computer, especially for things like blogging. I don't keep them. And I don't keep them because when I blog, I don't want to repeat my pictures, because anybody who comes to my blog more than once is probably going to remember, and it's possible that they could mistake a new blog article for an old blog article because they see the photo and recognize it. So I don't ever repeat using the same image no matter how good it is anyway. So I don't keep them for blogs. I do keep photos that I've used on my website because sometimes I switch things around. So I just keep a folder that says website photos. It's just a photo. It's where I keep all the website elements of everything goes in that one folder. That way I can find it later and switch things around as I please. But other than that, I don't keep them unless I've purchased the photo. Now, this is rare for me because I don't like to pay for things I don't have to pay for, just like you. Like my freebies, and I always go to the free repositories before I ever try a stock photo shot, and I only purchase a stock photo shot if it's something like for my website where I'm going to use it for an extended period of time, and perhaps I might want to move it around and use it in other places. And again, For that, I would just create a file folder that says website elements. It already even might be stock photos I want to keep, because I know if it's a stock photo, I paid for it. And if I label it stock photo, then I know I paid good money for it, and I don't want it to go away. So that's what I do with those particular photos. And the other thing that I have found this in working with and coaching with folks like you guys is that sometimes people don't know where the things that they're downloading are going, and they waste a lot of time searching for photos that they've downloaded because their computer is automatically putting it in a download folder for them, making it very frustrating when it's time to go and find it. So I always recommend to have your preferences setting so that downloads go to your desktop. And this is done under your preferences on your computer. I'm an Apple user, so it may or may not be helpful for me to even go into that. But if you select on your system preferences, you will find where you can dictate where all downloads go. And I would recommend having everything go to your desktop so that you can quickly, easily find what you just downloaded. And then after you've used it, played with it, changed it, made it into a meme and resaved it and put your SEO juice into it, then if you want to keep it when you're all done, then create a file or move it into the file that you want to keep it in going forward so that you know where it is. But don't waste your time trying to hunt through your computer because you're not quite sure where things are downloading. Take control of that and save yourself some time and aggravation by going into your system preferences and making the choice for your computer where your downloads go going forward. And when it comes to your desktop, this is another trick that really works, and some of you know this all too well, and you should be teaching me, but the most important thing to keep yourself on track, not just with photos, but with all the elements of your website or your blog page, is to keep your desktop cleaned up. Don't leave it cluttered with a bunch of stuff, and some of you are guilty because I can see the sweat forming on your eyebrow right now as I speak. You've got your stuff on your desktop of your computer that is keeping you from thinking clearly, and you're going to lose images. And that's what tonight is about, is images. And we want to keep track of them if you're going to keep them. It's not going to help you or serve you well if you keep your downloads on your desktop any longer than you have to. So while I suggest you make sure all your downloads go to your desktop initially, the very next thing you need to do when you're done with it is move it where it needs to go and make it a point at the end of each day to clear off your desktop, put everything where it goes, trash the things that you don't need. And if you need to create three or four folders that sit on your desktop just to keep yourself in check so you can just quickly throw things in there to organize later, do that. But do yourself a favor and keep that desktop clean. It is remarkable the difference that it makes when you're trying to organize things like images or the elements of your website. Just trying to find your way around your desktop can slow you down. And if it's nice and clean, you will get things done in half the time. It's absolutely worth cleaning all that stuff up afterward. So download to your desktop to save time. Remove it from your desktop when you're done to save time. All of those things come together to make things go very quickly. So the last thing I want to reiterate is that do your homework before you try to use an image that you found online. These things are not free game unless it says so. And photographers who make their money off photos, their photos get ripped off all the time and used on someone else's blog. And just because they did it without attribution or paying for it doesn't make it free. I mean, sometimes people think, well, if they did it, it must have been an okay picture to use. That's not true. A lot of times people do use things that are not theirs. It doesn't belong to them, and they didn't have any business using it. And they didn't do anything to protect it, so it couldn't be downloaded yet again and used by someone else. And you don't want to be guilty of that. We all want to do it the right and ethical way. So just do a tiny little bit of homework to begin with using 10i.com or by selecting from the free sites to start with where you already know it's free. And, of course, if you're like me and you dabble in photography, you may have a bevy of things you can use anyway. And that's fun to do, to use your own stuff. And you can, again, label it in such a way that it will give you some SEO juice. So at this point in time, I've rambled on for 37 minutes. So I'd like to open up the lines if anyone has any questions specifically about photos or how to organize or how to label go ahead and toss them out there, and let's see if there's an answer that will get you moving in the right direction. So go ahead and unmute. If I've left it cloudy anywhere, say so if something wasn't clear, and I'll try to clarify. I do talk kind of fast, and I don't know why, because I've been living in the South since 1976. You'd think I'd be slower by now, but it's not the case. So I'm sorry if I was too fast. While we were on here, did anybody peek at the photo places that I mentioned? Did anybody see those? And had you seen those before? Has anybody used those before? How about if I ask that? Has anybody used morgue file or free digital photos? Nobody?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. Has anybody found another place for good free photos?
Tracy?
Yes.
What's your opinion of, like, the Google image, like the, you know, it lists the place for attribution in there, like, I forget how they term it, but, like, free to use or, do you know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about just Google images? It's images.google.com where you can search for images through Google?
Yeah, just in their image search, and then they've got usage rights. And I just wondered how reliable you would think that would be. They've got, I'm just looking at it right now, they've got not filtered by license, labeled for reuse with modification, labeled for reuse, labeled
right,
for non-commercial, yeah.
Exactly, and it's great that you found that because it's kind of buried in there. You have to click on the little wheel in the corner and go to the advanced area to find that, so it's good that you found it. And I do use that when I'm looking for some kind of image that's hard to find, and I will just go ahead and I'll Google it to start with to see what comes up, and then I'll go in to the advanced feature and I'll ask them to define it by license so I can find out what's free to use and what's not. As
right.
to the reliability, I really can't speak to that. I'm assuming it's reliable. I don't very often download and use images that way. I have done it, but I don't very often, and it's usually because I don't have success finding exactly what it is that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, this is another thing that I do that's kind of may sound backwards, but it just kind of depends on what you're doing. Sometimes when I blog or I'm working on a blog for a client, I'll often find an image first and fashion the headline kind of around it and the article itself kind of around it and steer the article where I want it to go based on the visual that I found. And it sounds backwards, but it actually works pretty well for me. It depends, of course, on what I'm writing. Sometimes an image can help to spark a headline. But anyway, I'm getting off track. To answer your question, I don't know about the reliability of that. I'm assuming that Google is doing their homework and know what's free to use and what's not. But again, I would always do a search anyway using 10i, because if it is a stock photo, 10i will find that for you in most cases, just to be double sure and careful.
Right. Good. Thank you.
Tracy, and like a Shutterstock, for example, those are usually pictures you pay for. Those would be okay, correct?
Absolutely. Shutterstock and places like Dreamtime and other places like that, you do pay for those. There are varying degrees of licenses that you can pick from. And for somebody, if you're just a blogger, you can buy the cheapest one there and you're falling in within their license rights. It really gets to be stickier and bigger if you're this big, huge company and you suddenly want to make an image part of your brand or something where it's much more visible and much more prominent. But for folks like us, we're blogging, we have a tiny little website, we can buy the cheapest under the cheapest license possible on a place like Shutterstock, and then you can just use it all over your website, anywhere you want to on your blog. It's for you to use after you've made that purchase. And again, rename it, because they're going to sell it to you with a number attached to it, which does nothing for your SEO, and it does nothing for the site impaired. So You'll have to redo all that stuff we talked about and make sure that you've made that your own and make it work for you. And then keep it because you bought it.
Okay, thank you.
And I like those places. I'll tell you why I like those places. I don't like paying for stuff, but I do like that when you go to a place like Shutterstock and you look for an image, you can use a long list of describing words and come up with a much bigger bevy of things to choose from than you can on, say, Morgfile. FreeDigitalFiles.net is, I think, probably a bigger collection, but it's not, it also, because it's free, it's not quite as well organized. These people that do it for money, of course, they organize their websites better. You know, you get what you pay for in that regard.
Tracy, this is Amy. I just thought I'd weigh in because I actually have a couple of free stock image websites that I use too. In addition,
oh, wonderful! What are those?
One of them, and I went through and double checked. One of these has a stipulation that if you're promoting a product or service, you can't use a picture with somebody's face in it. I can't remember which one of these it is, so people should always check the terms of use. But one of them is freeimages.com, and the other one is freerange, like free range, home on the range, freerangestock.com.
Okay.
And those are both free, no attribution. Freerangestock, I think you have to register as a member, but it's no charge.
That is cool. Now, the free range, okay, I see what you're talking about. This sounds familiar to me. I may have stumbled upon this at some point in time. So you've used them before.
I have, yeah. And I would find myself going to those more frequently than Morgfile because I just felt like they had different kind of, although I haven't used these websites in a while. But, you know, they all have a kind of different feel depending on the community as far as quality and amount of photos to choose from. Mm-hmm. But I think it's free range stock that also offers vectors, vector images, which can be a good thing sometimes in case you don't want an actual picture or a photograph. Mm-hmm. So those are just two that I use.
Oh, wonderful. And I like free range. I'm looking at it right now as you're talking, and I really like it. I'm bookmarking that, so I'm glad you brought that up. And you bring up another good point is that each one of these sites does have a different feel. And I have definitely found that for very businessy type images, like people in an office, people in business suits, I found freedigitalimages.net has a lot of those kinds of shots. So I go to them frequently for that sort of thing. But for more artsy-fartsy texture types of stuff, I like to use Morgfile or my own stuff for that. So the point you're making is great because even in looking at free range, I see some really cool industrial type shots. There's tools on here and that kind of stuff. So it is worth poking around and finding your favorites and then bookmarking your favorites for ease of use later once you find something that you like. How about anybody else? Are there any other questions on this topic?
I'm wondering, for the freerangestock.com one, do you also have to attribute the photographer or no?
Amy, do you know right off the bat, is that one you don't have to attribute for free range?
You know, I think, like I said, go poke around if you're interested. I think that freerangestock.com, it depends. Some of the photographers request that you put an attribution, but it's not required. You know, they're making image, they're ad supported, so that's why the photographers are submitting their artwork to be used for free. So when you click on a photo, you'll see the details about you know, whether the photographer is requesting attribution, but it's not required.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Hey, thank you.
All right, did I leave any holes anywhere? Is there anything anybody's a little confused on? Maybe I talked talked too fast or didn't enunciate or something? Is there anything, any holes that I left that I need to fill? Okay, so if there's not anything about images, I would like to just open it up. If there's somebody who's a blogger out there who has any questions about their blog in particular, anything about your blog, if you need some direction on something, I might be able to help you depending on your question. So go ahead and ask any blogging questions if you have any at this point in time, and then we'll wind up after that. We're getting close to the 8 o'clock hour. Any bloggers out there with some blogging issues?
Tracy, just this is probably a question that is personal to anybody independently, but I have looked at starting blogging and have all kinds of ideas, and I'm just wondering rule of thumb, what amount of time would you say goes into an individual blog post? I know you've talked about scheduling them and, you know, doing a number of them at a time, but even when you do it that way, what would you say, you know, somebody who is a decent writer, how much time are they going to spend if they've already got ideas just putting together a post?
Well, if you're the kind of person who enjoys writing like I do and you already have an idea and kind of know of your direction, you could probably plan to spend in the neighborhood of an hour to 2 hours pulling it together and getting it where you're done. And I'll say that also saying this, as much as I love to write, that can also be to my detriment. I've been known to spend as much time as 4 hours on a blog post to get it just the way I want it. So part of this is just discipline and how quickly you write, and part of it is you know, not getting too caught up in yourself and trying to make it perfect. And in this day and age, I gotta tell you, the standards across the board have fallen off the end. We probably have all noticed that. You see typos all the time in line, and headlines that sometimes don't make sense. I'm not suggesting that you get slack or anything, but I am saying we don't need to be quite as tightly wound as we used to be. The internet's a pretty forgiving place. And if you were to post something and see a spelling error or grammatical error in it later, you can always go in and change it and correct it and make it right. But I typically like to set aside at least an hour and a half from starting.